For the scripture said, hallowed be thy name. Its name is righteousness. His name is sanctification. You ought to lift your hands and worship him a moment longer. Thank him for being a holy God. Thank him for being righteous. Thank him for being faithful unto you. For he's been faithful to 1,000 generations. He will continue to be faithful unto us. Come on, lift your hands and say, God, thank you for being faithful. For you are faithful. You are faithful, God. The song said, I've searched all over and couldn't find nobody. I look high and I look low. But look at today, but tell him I still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. I feel like worshiping. I feel like worship. Nobody greater. Look at today, but tell him I couldn't find nobody greater than my God. No one who could heal me, who could touch me like he can. So God, we bless your holy name. We magnify you for being a God who is more than enough. We thank you for being a God who hears and answers the prayers of the righteous. We thank you for being a God who is faithful and just and pure, who is holy. We thank you this day and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, today we're moving forward on mission through prayer. Moving forward on mission through prayer. I'm going to lift my biblical text from the book of 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, where I will commence reading at verse number 12 and conclude with verse number 15. And again, I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. You heard this text read into your hearing earlier. And the word of the Lord declares, O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde, this tribe, this squad, this multitude that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde. For the battle is not yours, but God. So aren't you glad today to know that anything that you could ever go through as a believer is not your battle? When you give it unto the Lord. Amen. I want to title this text, But Our Eyes Are Upon Thee. Our eyes are upon thee. We must get to the point and place in our Christian walk with God that no matter what obstacles, what hurdles, what opposition, what crises we find ourselves in, our eyes must be focused upon him. In other words, we have to make a conscious decision to solely focus on God rather than focusing upon the problem in which we are facing. And so this was the story of our text on today. Jehoshaphat, the king, must have been panic-stricken when he heard about the huge army of the Moabites and the Ammonites heading toward his little kingdom of Judah. Look at your neighbor and tell him Judah means praise. Here it is, this kingdom coming against this small kingdom. These two neighboring nations were ancestral enemies and intimidating opponents. And what could little Judah do to defend itself? When you're caught without defense, without artillery, when you're caught without an army, what do you do? But as an army of prayer warriors, Jehoshaphat and Judah knew what to do. The enemy was on the banks of the Dead Sea, too close to Jerusalem for comfort. The watchful would have thought it was time for fighting, not praying. But this wise king gathered the men of Judah in the temple for some serious prayer. How many know that God hears and answers the prayer of the righteous? Our scripture verse in the culmination of that prayer, the closing confession of God, was that God is a rewarder to them who diligently seek Him. In other words, you must be diligent. Anyone who's going to seek God must learn to be diligent. In other words, you cannot pray a little while, talk to God, and then get up and walk away. But you must be persistent in prayer. You must be diligent in prayer. One must persevere in prayer, and to the point to where you get a hold of God, and not only get a hold of God, but how many here believe that if you talk to God long enough, He'll talk back to you? If you spend enough time to God, He will give you revelation knowledge. He will give you illumination. He will reveal His word. He will enlighten His word to you. He will give you answers to your prayer. And so we 21st century Christians tend to turn to prayer as a last resort. We prefer to take the burden on our own shoulders and attack our problems with our own limited abilities. And when we have thrown everything at our enemy to see what sticks, we find ourselves back into a corner, sometime then on and only then do we begin to pray. But we have to learn how to give it to God. It must be our first option. It must be to pray to God, to give every situation over to God. And as it turns out, Jehoshaphat employed the most powerful weapon he could have used against his enemy. When you read the rest of the story, you discover that no Judean army was organized and not a single sword was drawn. Let me pause parenthetically and tell you that when you really, really learn how to have a little talk with Jesus and tell Him all about your troubles, you don't need a gun on your side in order to make things happen. Because you understand that there's power, great power in prayer. There's power, wonder-working power in prayer. And so you would have thought that they were marching towards the Moabites and the Ammonites with the latest in artillery as they crested the hills with their music, crescendering, filling the air. Can you imagine the enemy hearing this, hearing God in action, hearing God's people moving towards the enemy? They have expected to find an army of intruders standing at the ready, waiting to plummet them with glistening swords. But instead, all they found was a field of dead corpses. Look at your neighbor and tell them, look at our God. We've heard that prayer is powerful, and some of us actually believe it. So what kind of prayer was this that feels so trusting an army of praising songsters? Which brings me to the first principle in my message. First and foremost, Jehoshaphat's prayer reveals his confidence in the midst of despair. In other words, when you begin to praise God, when you begin to celebrate once you've prayed, you begin to celebrate, what happens is you're letting God know that I have confidence in your ability to deliver me. And so instead of me walking in fear, instead of shrinking in fear, I've learned how to praise God. And see, what happened was the enemy heard the praising going on, and God fixed it so that they thought that there was a mighty army, because praise confuses the enemy. Praise discombobulates your enemy, because when you ought to be tucking your tail in fear, you're celebrating God with confidence, and knowing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask, think, or even imagine. And if you're going to take a stand against any enemy, it's best to start by putting all of your faith in the Lord, putting all of your trust in God. Which brings me to my second point in my message. Point number two is that Jehoshaphat's prayer affirms his belief in victory. You've got to believe in victory. You've got to know that God has already given you the victory. When God was personified in flesh through sending his only begotten son Jesus into this world, when Jesus was hung on the cross, when he died on the cross, was buried, we know that he arose with all power in his hand. We know that he took the sting of death. We know that he took the victory out of the grave. We know that he gave that victory unto us. We don't know what to do, Lord, but you do. That's what he said while all the congregation listened with bowed heads. He said unto God, we don't know what to do in prayer, but we know that you know what to do. And that's what we've got to do when we're faced with the giants in our lives. We got to begin to tell God all about it. Don't tell the devil about it, but tell God all about it, because God knows what to do. If you skip down to verse 14 and 15, you discover that Jehaziel got the Holy Ghost. And as we would say, he heard not only the words of Jehoshaphat, but he felt the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And he declared, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. In other words, you don't have to fear, because it's not your battle. And all that Jehaziel declared came to pass. It was proof that the Lord was always in control from the beginning. You've got to know that God from the outset is in control. God from the outset is in charge. He knows all about what you are going through even before you go through or face any adversary. God already knows about it. Why? Because you belong to God. Is there anybody here who knows you belong to God? You know that you've been purchased with a price. Your body is not your own. For our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when you understand that you belong to God, then you, all you've got to say is, God, I give this battle to you. I give this mountain to you. I give this crisis to you. Because I know you know what to do with it. And when we recount his past glory, we can shout. When we think about the things that we've gone through in the past and how God brought us out, how God made a way, it gives us a reason to shout. The song said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, My soul cries out, my will, what I want, my intellect, what I think, my emotions, how I feel. My soul, my soulless man cries out, hallelujah. In other words, your soulless man begins to respond, give an outward expression to your inward impression. You begin to shout because you understand that the same God who did it then is the same God who's able to do it now. And isn't it interesting, isn't it ironic, how the longer you time you spend serving God, the easier it becomes to shout in the midst of your adversary. Look at your neighbor and tell him it becomes easier and easier to praise God in the midst of trouble. When you walk with him for a while, when you serve him for some time. And so no matter how strange your battle may be, it's not your battle. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's not your battle. It's the Lord's. And if you live within his will and you have a firm grasp on his hand, the Lord will fight your battle and deliver unto you the victory. He may not ask you to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. There may be some blows you may have to take, but at the end of it all, you will come out with the victory. You will come out victorious. Thirdly and finally, Jehoshaphat's prayer reveals a prepared nation. Judah was ready to stand their ground with God. How many here is ready to stand your ground with God? In other words, does not matter what you're faced with, you are ready to stand your ground with God. The devil doesn't like it when you know in whom you believe and you stand flat-footed and let the enemy know, for God I live and for God I die. You stand flat-footed and let the devil know one can chase a thousand, but I got my prayer partner with me, because two is able to put 10,000 to flight. When you stand flat-footed and let the enemy know that no weapon that is formed against the believer shall be able to prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I have been given the delegated authority in and through Christ Jesus to condemn. Judah was ready. That's what their praise was all about. They was ready. So I come to tell you that your praise signifies a ready church. A praying church is a ready church. But a praising church means that you've already prayed. And you're celebrating for the victory, even though you don't see it. But I've already been in my prayer closet. That's why you, when you come to church, you should have already prayed. That's why David said, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. And I come into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. Look at your neighbor and tell him, the Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. He is just. The Lord is good. Our victory is most likely assured when we thank the Lord in advance. In other words, don't wait until the battle is over. Thank God right now. Thank God when you're facing your trouble, when you're facing defeat. Thank God in the presence of your enemy, because it signifies to God that I'm standing upon your word. I'm standing on the promises of the Lord, and the promises of the Lord are yea and in him amen. God said that settles it. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm leaning and depending upon the Lord. I've come too far to turn back. No man puts his hand to the plow to turn and look away, but I've already put my hand to the plow. I'm moving forward. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward on mission. through prayer. I'm moving forward on mission through praise. I'm moving forward on mission through worship. I'm moving forward. I'm not standing stagnant. I'm not lollygagging. I'm not procrastinating. I am moving forward. Because I've got a praise on my lips. Making your prayer an action of surrender may just be the boldest venture you'll ever take. In other words, he said, you've got to pray as your most powerful weapon, which means that you're communicating with God about what you're facing and letting God know, God, I'm believing and trusting you at your word. You said that the battle does not belong to me. You said it's your battle. So I'm giving it to you in prayer. And when I get through giving it to you in prayer, I'm going to lift up my hands and give you a shout. I'm going to lift up my hands and celebrate you. I'm going to lift up my hands and magnify you. Do you not understand that folk get delivered during praise and worship? Because there's power in praise. Praise says that I've already prayed and I know in whom I believe. I choose to worship. I choose to bless his name. I choose to magnify him. I could have a pity party, but I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. I will boast in the Lord. In other words, you got to become a prayer warrior and a praise warrior. They go together. They coincide together. You ought to be a prayer and a praiser. Let's look at David. King David was a warrior at heart. And not just in the sense of the physical battle, called a man after God's own heart. David was a praiser. He knew how to get to God's heart through praise. Yes. And we have to be ever so careful not to minimize praise along with our prayer life. Because let me tell you what praise also does. Praise signifies to those around you as an outward display of your faith that God is an on-time God, that God is a way-making God, that God is a balm in Gilead, that God is our deliverer, that God sent his word to heal us from all sicknesses and diseases. It lets the world know that he's an amazing God. It lets the world know that he's a way-making God. It lets the world know through our praise and worship. Because some folk aren't going to come to prayer meeting, but when you begin to praise God, that praise will draw them, and before you know it, they'll start showing up in prayer meeting. Let's take the evangelist for example. The evangelist is the one who goes out and preaches with excitement in order to draw people to Christ. But then that evangelist may not be a pastor, because a pastor must have a shepherd's heart. And so that evangelist preaches to them and brings them in where the pastor is able to shepherd them. Most time you find with most evangelists, they say some things that can be offensive because it's a part of their gift to draw and put the hook in the mouth. But they have to bring them to the shepherd. And so praise has the ability to draw people to God, to draw people to the church. Because it's powerful. And that's why David's ministry was so vitally powerful. Hannah, famously remembered in Scripture as the diligently faithful mother of Prophet Samuel. Hannah's story is so much more than being a mother after years of trying to conceive a child and being ridiculed by her husband's other wife, Peninnah. Hannah went to the temple of Shiloh to make a sacrifice to the Lord and pray for a child. How many know that God hears and answers prayer? Daniel was a prayer warrior with a regiment. He set aside 3 times a day to go before the Lord in prayer, and he was an incredible intercessor on behalf of God's people. How many know we still need intercessors? We still need people who will stand in the gap and pray for others. Jesus, the greatest prayer warrior of all, prayer was absolutely crucial to Jesus' life, ministry, and message. Mark 1:35 tells us that Jesus rose well before the sun ever rose in the morning to find a quiet, solitary place in order to pray. So I come to tell you in saying all of that, that don't wait until the battle is over. You've got to learn how to praise God right now. Look at your neighbor and tell him you got to learn how to praise God. Learn how to praise God. Once you prayed, learn how to give God a praise. Learn how to do what David did. Encourage himself in the Lord. Every now and again, you've got to learn how to shout all by yourself and give God your best praise. Because when praises go up, blessings come down. When you learn how to give God a shout and a Shabbat and a thank you, Jesus, and a hallelujah and a glory to God, something is going to happen. Because when you begin to shout, the person next to you begins to shout, begins to clap their hands, begin to magnify God. Why? Because praise is contagious. Some people don't want to pray. They say it takes too long. They say it takes too much. But when they see you praising God, they're going to begin to praise God. And if they praise God long enough, they're going to get hit by the Holy Ghost. When you get hit by the Holy Ghost, you'll learn how to develop a relationship with God. Look at your neighbor and tell them, my praise is contagious. If you don't want to learn how to praise God, don't sit next to me, because my praise is contagious. My thank you, Jesus, is contagious. My hand clapping, oh God, is contagious. My dance is contagious. My shout is contagious. Are you ready to trust in God even though you cannot trace Him? Are you ready to stand your ground, trusting and believing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you're able to ask and think? Is there anybody here who's ready to lean and depend upon Jesus? Because ain't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody save me like Jesus. Can't nobody hold me like Jesus. Can't nobody anoint me like Jesus. Can't nobody deliver me like Jesus. Can't nobody keep me like Jesus. Can't nobody strengthen me like Jesus. Look at your neighbor and tell them, nobody. Nobody. I searched all over and I can't find nobody who can deliver me like Jesus. But there's no task that's too big for Him. No hill that's too high for Him. No valley that's too low for Him. No mountain too steep to climb. Nobody is able to hold me like the Lord. Yet, His all-powerful Creator
cares about us. That's why the scripture says, casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares. Look at your neighbor, tell him he cares. He cares for you. I come to tell you that God is concerned about you. God, I feel like preaching. He cares about you. God is speaking about you. For the scripture says it like this: when I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you would visit him? So you place him up a little lower than the angels, and you crown him up with glory and honor. What is man that God is mindful of us, that he thinks about us, that he's concerned about us? Look at your neighbor and tell him, no matter is too big for my God. No storm is too great for my God. No mountain is too high for my God. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing, and then no need is too great for him to meet. No problem is too complicated for him to solve. I come to tell you that God is able to take you through it. I come to tell you that God is able to take you over it. I come to tell you that the God in whom I serve is able to take you around it. For the Bible promises, by his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than he would ever dare to ask or even dream. God wants to open up to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will have room enough to receive. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you better get your basket. Tell your neighbor, get your basket. Get your bucket. Get ready to receive. Come on, get something in your hand. I dare you to stand up to your feet. Hold out your hand. He said, I'm going to open you. I'm opening for you. Though I feel prophetic right now. I'm opening for you the windows of heaven. I'm opening for you the storehouse to the Lord's kingdom. He's going to pour you out a blessing that there won't be room enough to receive. But look at your neighbor and tell him, you have to trust him even when you can't trace him. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You have to trust that Christ came to redeem you from the penalty of sin. You have to trust that God is able to deliver you from the trial you face. You have to trust that he can dissolve your difficulties. You have to trust that he's able to terminate your temptations, abolish your burdens, open opportunities, defeat your discouragement, destroy all doubt, overcome your opposition, and defy every devil. No weapon that is formed against the church shall be able to prosper. I dare you to thank God for every valley. Thank God for every mountain. In other words, don't wait until the battle is over. Thank God for all the times He protected you. Thank God for every time He healed you. Thank God for every time He showed up financially for you. Thank God for every time He healed you. Thank God. Thank Him for every blessing. Thank Him for giving you hope. Hope for tomorrow. Hope for a better future. Thank God for waking you up this morning. Thank God for standing guard over you while you slept. Thank God, the Creator of all things. He gives you strength. He gives you breath. He gives you the power to endure all things. You ought to thank God. Now let everything that has breath praise the Lord. 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 Let everything that has breath praise the name of the Lord. If God gives you what you need, you ought to praise Him. If you've got food in your refrigerator, you owe God a praise. If you have money in your bank account, you owe God a praise. If you have money in your wallet or your purse, you owe God a praise. If your body is healed, you owe God a praise. If you have transportation, you owe God a praise. If you have a roof over your head, look at your neighbor and help me preach and tell them you owe God a praise. If He meets all of your needs, you owe Him a praise. If every time you turn around, God keeps on blessing you, you owe God a praise. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I think you owe God a turnaround. God turned it around. God turned it around. You owe God a turnaround. Everything the devil meant for evil in your life, if God turned it around, you owe God a turnaround. Look to Him. But our eyes are upon Thee. We are oppressed, but not perplexed. Persecuted, but our eyes are upon Thee. Troubled, but our eyes are upon Thee. For I shall look up towards the hills for what's coming. My help, for all of my help coming from the Lord. My eyes are upon Thee. My eyes are upon Thee. My eyes are upon Thee. My focus is on Him. Listen, a horse
in the horse race, they put what's called blinders on the horse, so that the horse in the race is not distracted by what's going on its right or on its left. But its focus is on the race. For the race is not given to the swift, neither is the battle given to the strong, but to him who endures to the end. And I'm afraid to say that, church, the only way that we're going to endure to the end is if we keep our spiritual blinders on, so that we're not distracted by what's going on the right and what's going on the left. But we got to learn how to keep our eyes on Jesus. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. We're standing. Look at your neighbor and tell him, keep your eyes on thee. Tell him, don't look at the pastor. Tell him, don't look at me. But keep your eyes on him. Because he is a very present help in times of trouble. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door to our salvation. So, Father, we thank you. We love you. We adore you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this awesome opportunity to gather in this place to worship you, to celebrate you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God, as we have heard your word, we ask, oh God, that you give us the unction to function. Give us the wherewithal to carry your word out in our lives. May this word germinate within us and bring forth some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold, and even beyond fruit after its kind. Help us to look unto you, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us to not be, our focus to not be impeded by the distractions of this life. God, that we might grow in grace, serve with love, and transform lives for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. And now this altar is open if anyone desires to come around this altar.